All right, let's talk about aliens.
We can't talk about the moon, man.
Yeah, well.
They're coming for us.
We're live now. So, welcome to Close Encounters of the High Kind. I'm back with Andy and David. We had some technical difficulties. Explain the gremlins to us.
The gremlins. Yeah, there's a thing where a lot of my research on watching YouTube video interviews, and when people talk about certain subjects, they just seem to always have technical difficulties, and people call them the gremlins on the line.
Gremlins. Why the gremlins?
Yeah. well, damn it. The myth of the gremlins, there's quite a few of them, but in World War II, there was a lot of myths and stories that went around about gremlins on the messing with the electronics on the planes over Europe. And that's where the modern gremlin myth kind of came in and all of that. But it goes way back. So, but yeah.
How far back?
The Tengu of Japan are probably maybe the oldest. I don't know, though. I mean, they're pretty much gremlins. Like, they're all kind of like, they have a bunch of different kinds of gremlins and hobgoblin type creatures. That's one cool thing about Japanese mythology. Is they went super detailed. I mean, encyclopedias of the type of spirits and demons and whatever you might see or interact with. So that's one thing I do love about Japanese mythology for sure. But yeah, that's probably, I guess, the Tengu Zoo. It's as far back as I've gone, at least researching gremlins, because I don't know. It's more of a curiosity, not like a something I am that interested in. So
apparently the gremlins gave us technical difficulties, and they don't want you to hear the truth about the moon that we're going to be discussing tonight.
Truth,
and
maybe.
Yeah, the truth of the moon, reading everything that like Andy gave to me, the moon used to not exist, apparently.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we are. Hold on 1 second. My phone is being loud. Okay, sorry. We're going to talk about a lot of different things that I've studied. Not all of these I believe, and then others I have alternative theories to kind of like explain what, at least I think maybe is going on. The one about the moon not always existing, that's an interesting one. There are quite a few myths that seem to talk about a time before the moon, I think a lot of the accounts are from ancient Greece, from what I was reading, but they seem to, kind of indicate that they also couldn't see stars at that time. So that makes me think maybe instead of just the moon not existing, you know, like if there was some sort of cataclysmic event, like a asteroid impact or comet or parts of a comet, like the Younger Dryas impact, perhaps, you know, that kind of destruction would block out the sky in a nuclear winter, essentially. For quite a while, and the only thing you might see is the sun a little bit, you know. So I don't know, that's kind of one of my alternate theories for that. It is one of the more interesting ones, and the fact that there are multiple cultures who have that kind of like a time before the moon recorded, you know, maybe that's their like early ancestors after that the impact event or something like that. At least that's my kind of working theory maybe on that one. It's still interesting.
It's really fucking interesting. How would that connect to like another thing that you showed me was like apparently the Nazis had a base on the moon?
Moon base. Oh yeah. Well, that's one of the other recurring theories that a lot of this stuff we're going to talk about, I guess, is really just stuff I've come across during my research.
Yeah.
This one is fun. You know, like, whether it's true or not, I don't care. Like, it's just, it's kind of, I mean, it would be obviously cool to find evidence of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked about the Vril Society in the last episode. And, you know, that movement within the Nazis, which became associated with the Nazis, you know, there were these other societies like the Thule Society and the Vril Society and things like that that had association with the SS and a lot of the people that were more interested in the occult. And people, of course, have these theories that the Nazis had UFO, you know, like flying saucers, basically. Mm-hmm. It's like called the Nazi Bell, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you can look it up and you see pictures of it and things like this. Whether they're authentic or not, who knows?
I mean, it would make sense to me that they would be exploring space because we recruited so many of them into America with Operation Paperclip. Surely, like, our intelligence was like, they're onto something that we're not. So let's bring them over.
Yeah, and obviously their technology became very, very advanced very quickly. You know, they invented rocketry, you know, like modern rocketry. And you wouldn't have jet planes. You know, they invented the first jet planes too. Yeah. You know? So, like, if they were hypothetically, let's just say for fun, that they were getting this information from aliens, basically, you know, mm-hmm. more or less. You know, like we talked about last time, my theories about what they really are, you know, these beings that exist in the astral. But if their ships are flying saucers, let's say, or shaped like that, then I guess they could have given them plans to build those as well. You know, I mean, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun one. And if they were able to, then maybe they would have been able to go to the moon. I don't know. It's not one that, you know, like, there's a lot of theories around the Nazis, different conspiracy theories and things like this throughout time that have come out. That's one of the harder ones for me to believe, but it is one of the ones that I kind of hope would be real. Like, I would love that. Like, Nazi moon base. Absolutely. The Antarctic moon, or the Antarctic base, is one that I do believe existed. New Schwabenland, I believe. But yeah, I don't know about the moon base for them. I who knows? I don't know.
I mean, like, knowing everything about the Nazis and the occultism and that, like, space exploration, it wouldn't surprise me if they were, like, fucking summoning, trying to summon something on that moon base, or trying to tap into some kind of polar, some kind of universal energy. And
you like the ley lines and shit.
Yeah.
Well, and if they are, you know, if the two are connected, the two phenomenon, the astral realm and UFOs, right? And it would make sense that why all of these people, like Jack Parsons and many, many others, were occultists. They believed in magic for a reason.
Yeah.
They practiced it. Sex magic, blood magic, the whole, you know, many different options, obviously. You know, who knows? Sex magic for sure.
Mm-hmm.
There was Jack Parsons. I don't know. Somewhere in my mind, there's like a vague memory of some sex magic association with him. But a lot of those old schools, you know, like, used to focus on things like that. And still do to this day, depending on what it is, you know, and a lot of schools like Golden Dawn and things like that talk about it. It was very popular at that time. You know? You had the Theosophical Society, you had all these different, it was a really cool time as far as the, like, the world was going to shit, of course. But, like, prior to the outbreak of the war, it was, I think, spiritually a very unique and cool time. So. A little bit of a tangent there, sorry.
That's all right. I just, like all the shit you sent me on the fucking moon yesterday was, like, stuff I've never, like, really thought about.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, like, when I saw, like, the moon used to not exist, I was just like, whoa. yeah, what the fuck. But like the goo that the Chinese discovered on there, what do you think about that?
Yeah, well, they claim it's some sort of meteoric glass now.
Mm-hmm.
See, the thing about the dark side of the moon is that that's the one with the biggest mystery, obviously, mm-hmm. because we never see it, mm-hmm. because it's the moon's tidally locked to always face one side of Earth. And it's interesting to me that, you know, China is the first country to send, I don't know if they were the first or not, I'm not going to say that they were, but like, as far as my memory is, at least the first country to kind of explore the dark side of the moon,
mm-hmm.
and send a rover there. And they found this goo-like substance.
Yeah.
And there's a very common, very common, sorry, very common, I guess you could call it a trope in a lot of movies and a lot of stories, and it's the goo or the ooze, right? The black goo, especially like in Prometheus or
the gray goo.
Yeah, that was immediately where my mind went, was like the goo from Prometheus. Mm-hmm. Like when I read that, I was like, oh fuck, like possible DNA of like some kind of like designer or some kind of god.
Yeah, well, and this is a very, very common thing in a lot of TV shows too. You know, they'll often, whatever it is, if something's super evil, right, it'll be mm-hmm. oozing black goo out of its face and orifices. You know, it's like,
right.
We associate this with this very almost like alien kind of, I don't know, like archetype, right? You know, like, mm-hmm. and when it appears, it's freaky, you know? The idea of any sort of substance like that might have a mind of its own. The Blob. Great horror movie. It's the goo. Ghostbusters 2. The goo.
The goo. You know,
the goo. It's everywhere.
So what we should just assume that all goo is evil. That all goo is like some kind of destructive force.
And I don't know how many of your viewers, the people that watch this, are comic book fans, but no one remember Spider-Man and the symbiotes, Venom, and Venom
is
right.
Like, so what you are trying to tell me is that the Chinese have a symbiotic suit, and that's their secret weapon.
I mean, maybe
it's not TikTok.
No,
TikTok's not TikTok. The secret weapon. It's not TikTok.
What? Oh shit! Hold on. This brings a whole new like light to Nickelodeon and their obsession.
Oh, Gak? Yeah. Gak.
The Gak. Yeah.
Bring Gak back.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I mean, how many
Gak like poisonous, and that's why that's why it went off the shelf, was like it was some poisonous ass shit that like when we were little kids probably gave us lead poisoning, and that's why we're so fucking weird now.
Was it? Was it poisonous?
I think so. I think there was something was up with Gak.
I loved Gak.
I loved Gak too. I had like so much.
It was so gross when it got dirty, though.
Yeah, it was.
But yeah.
That was some gnarly stuff.
Yeah, so like you can think of like all these examples again and again and again and again and again. You know, the slime and ooze and all of it, right? Well, that Power Rangers movie. It had a purple ooze. And Ivan Ooze was the villain.
So, wasn't Ivan Ooze on the dark side of the moon in that movie?
Maybe. I thought Rita Repulsa lived on the moon. And Zed, or whatever his name was, her husband, the skeleton man thing, with muscles but no skin. I don't know. That was a weird show.
That was a weird show. That was a very weird show.
But I firmly believe that a thing I believe, like in my research, I found time and time again, is when I find certain truths that appear in my research, they also appear in fiction. Mm-hmm. And it's whether it's intentional. I don't think it necessarily always is. I think sure there's some shows out there that may be kind of like a form of soft disclosure kind of thing to kind of get people used to.
Yeah, that softening, like manufacturing consent, except for like having your mind completely fucked.
Yeah, because it is programming. It's TV programming.
Yeah, it's just getting you like nice and prime. Like, I think that's what 2020's been, is just getting us nice and prime for some sort of invasion.
Well, and I don't know. You know, maybe they'll pull some crazy shit off. But I often find that that fiction many, 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 many times at least makes reference to the concepts and the archetypes and the ideas that come up in my research, no matter where I am. And the truth, like, almost always finds a way out. I think it's maybe something subconscious. Mm-hmm. It's like the hive mind kind of thing for humans, yeah. You know, where it's kind of explains also why people invent things at the same time. You know, mm-hmm. discoveries are made simultaneously on completely different places across the earth. And there's examples of this throughout time, like in major developments, like writing, you know, and huge things and certain inventions that's happened too, like, or within a very small time span apart. So maybe that is something that humans can tap into. I don't know. I mean, I don't see why not. You know, I think the concept of that's called the morphic field, if you ever want to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
That was a weird avenue, but it's a cool one.
So. Yeah. I mean, considering that we just started off on GAC, I don't know how weird it can possibly go. How many different alien species do you think has been on our moon? Like, landed there?
Well, they seem to be very, very, like, they're not very segregated. You know what I mean? Like, one ship may carry multiple species, right? So you might have the grays, you might have the mantis, you might have the hybrids, you might have humans, pets, you know, or whatever. You might have I guess one of the quote-unquote lizard people, more archonic entity. So I guess it's theoretical.
So kind of like a Noah's Ark of aliens landing on the moon.
Yeah, and I think honestly, in many ways, spiritually speaking, the Earth is very much like the best mother ever, for one. Like, she's the best mom you could ever hope for, but because most of her kids are adopted, I think.
Yeah.
like a lot of them, the spirits and these things that exist here are not originally from this Earth, and this planet and things like that. So to me, it's amusing, but that. So, like, who knows? I don't know. I mean, I could, like, run down a list in my head, but that would take forever. So, I mean, I'm sure it's dozens. You know, I'm sure there's probably at least dozens of species. Because you look through mythology, and there's all these different types of creatures.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And how many of them originated on Earth, and how many originated on other planets within our own solar system, or hell, even inside the Earth, you know, if we're talking about the astral realm. So
yeah.
Like, I mean, there's a lot of possibilities.
Yeah. What would their interest be in the moon, would you think?
Well, that actually is a good segue into some of those other theories, actually. The one I see the most, like, if the moon was some sort of... there's a theory that it's a construct, right? Like a spaceship, sort of, I guess. And it's a theory there's a few people that I've looked into. Some say it's a hologram, first of all, which I don't get on board with that one. I'm not a flat earther or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry for those that are, each to his or her own, but I'm not more of a hollow earther, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's science to back that concept up.
Mm-hmm.
Which we can get into at a later date, because that's its own freaking episode by itself, probably. But the David Icke, I don't know if you ever heard of him, but he has been a very attacked individual, I would say, for. He's the one that kind of popularized, and I guess you would say in modern times, the whole reptilian shape-shifting lizard people thing. And that concept is actually really in the social mind now because of him, I think, in a lot of ways, like for the present. And he got attacked a lot. His reputation just kind of destroyed when he started talking about these things and being talking about them publicly. But there's, you know, there some of his theories revolve around the moon being a control system, right? So maybe on some level, reality, again, going talking about like, if these beings are from the astral realm, then the moon could also be populated on that level of reality, where there's not as many restrictions. Like, you know, it's probably a lot easier to. I'm sure many of the planets are populated on the other
on the more astral planes.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Right? You don't have near the limitations.
Yeah, just because we believe in astral planes on Earth wouldn't make it exclusive just to Earth.
No, no. And so, you know, I think that the idea that it could be a control system is possible. I mean,
what do you mean by control?
It'd be like more like a monitoring station, I guess. A lot of Ike's theories and kind of revolve around this whole idea of the matrix of control, right?
That's
that these lizard people, you know, have put in place to monitor and control us. I mean, that's where the whole allegory of the movie The Matrix, it's all about. This is not a new idea. This idea is very, very, very old. The Gnostics were very much into that kind of view, the Christian Gnostics, that this is a prison in their view. You know, that this is the demiurge, right, is what they call the god, and they claim that he's basically the bastard, like a bastard, pretty much. Like he's they do not have a good view of him. They think he's basically evil. And while I agree that the current demiurge is, I don't think he's the only demiurge. So I think the current society we exist in now is definitely a control system of sorts. You know, conformity is always what we are molded into here, you know, and those who try to break out of that system inherently, whether it happens through, you know, social punishment and isolation, or if it's direct punishment, if you, you know, have certain theories that are unpopular to the government, you know, and it's not just one government, it's all governments. And, you know, that's,
yeah,
that's kind of like the whole idea, you know. And as soon as you, yeah, just like in the movie, right, just as soon as you wake up, the
random cat abduction,
there you go, abductions are happening.
Everywhere.
God, I lost my train of thought. Damn, what was I saying?
Sorry, I have. Oh shit, what were you
saying? Well,
control stations,
stations, monitoring.
So yeah, when you wake up, like in the movie, you know, the Matrix turns against you, tries to shut you down, tries to get you to be quiet, take your pills and obey. You know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, that's the whole idea. And I guess in that scenario, then the moon would be like a station for them to monitor and control and like, you know, in this whole theory we're talking about. The thing is, I do believe that this idea of a matrix or some system of control that we're talking about, I do believe it exists, whether it's a thought form, maybe it's just a massive thought form that we all adhere to, or maybe it's just, maybe it was created with magic, you know, that it's very possible. I mean, all that is essentially a manifestation that's been kind of set in stone and crystallized, you know, so breaking free of the matrix, right? That whole allegory, reaching enlightenment, kind of, you know, I don't think it was originally the system that we're talking about. I don't think it was originally intended to be a control system.
Yeah.
I think it was originally an education system, and it was hijacked, basically, by these entities. Whereas the Gnostics call them Archons. You know, today, I guess, for the UFO world, we're calling them the reptilians, you know?
Yeah.
Shapeshifters. But
how long... what type of society would those beings have themselves?
Well, if we're talking from the UFO perspective, I mean, obviously they bottle them after lizards for a reason, right? They're cold, unfeeling. If you're looking at it from the Gnostic perspective of what I think they're basically, we're talking semantics, right? We're describing the same thing. They're negative entities. They feed off of fear, chaos, death, destruction. Now, the thing is, that's a very negative path.
And they're the ones in the control station.
Right. Well, the negative paths are self-limiting. Because when you, all you crave is power, eventually you get to a point where you, like, think of it like with the Sith, right? You know, one gathers as much power as they possibly can. They train an apprentice due to the rule of two in Star Wars, but they always expect them to betray each other, right? Because power is the only objective. So there can only ever truly be, like, there's a point where you cannot get more power, right? And once you hit that point, and then the reason for that is because you're alone. You know, so I think that system of what you're talking about, it is obviously higher, it has to be a hierarchical, you know, pyramid-like system.
Yeah, so right? They would be kind of based on, like, our hierarchies, so to speak.
Yeah, sort of. I mean,
so they wouldn't be more in the advance of, like, figuring out some system better, or just, like,
be capitalists.
But at the end of the day, that as you say, they're cold and unfeeling. So yeah. Why the fuck would they care about?
Well, think about the pyramid symbolism
involved. Yeah.
Just take out a dollar bill out of your. You know, the whole New World Order, that whole spiel. Which we can get into, I'm sure, later, but that's lots of ties to the UFO world. I think that they are basically evil entities that feed off of fear a lot, you know, and I don't, definitely don't like them, I guess you would say. I mean... I do think they exist. I think they're drawn towards negativity, and I think there's different kinds of them. You know, and that's where we were talking about Japanese mythology earlier. That's a really good place to go for demonology. You know, if that's what that's what we're talking about basically too. And you know, they have very good descriptions of lots of different demons. You know, and the different forms they take and things like this. And that was their perception of. Of these entities, and obviously there's European demonology manuals from like France, and you know, back during the witch trials and all of these things that kind of there was a dictionary in Infernus or something like that, I can't remember the name of it. Basically all about demonology, you know, and the different classifications of them. Power that certain ones have. So, and I think a lot of that information kind of came through probably visionary experiences, people astral projecting, whether they were using drugs or some, you know, hallucinogens or something else to make that happen. Because that's often how people, I think that's how a lot of this information comes to us, you know. It all comes back down to shamanism at the end of the day, so in one form or another. So I think definitely don't like them. I definitely think that they have been in control for a long time. And
it's kind of like divine long time though.
I would say at least between 8 to 10,000 years, probably.
8 to 10,000 years. That's a fucking long time.
Maybe longer. Longer.
And what would their end game be if they've been observing us for like 10,000 years? Other than monitoring, there has to be like something else that they have planned. Because I mean, they have to get, you know, bored of like the shit show that is humanity.
I don't know. I mean, it's a very broad spanning question because I think their intents are numerous. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to say, right? I mean, how does a... It's almost like trying to put your mind inside the mind of a reptile or something. Mm-hmm. even more like basic and primal in a way too, like a praying mantis or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, personally, I mean, I'll say this. None of their... If you look at the world as it is, right? Like, even if you don't believe all the conspiracy theory stuff I'm talking about, right? I mean, crazy, you know, woo-woo, whatever. The direction the world's going, I don't know many people... I personally don't know many people that would ever say it's healthy, you know? No matter what bent of the political spectrum you are, I think it's kind of clear that this is a shit show.
Right? Yeah.
And I think most of what the governments want to do is use any crisis possible to implement whatever control systems they can.
Mm-hmm.
And they always try to push that. You give them an inch, they take a mile. And mm-hmm. more and more centralization is what they always want. And I don't have, you know, like, all you have to do is look back in time, just from how long we've been alive, you know, and look at events like 9/11 and then came the Patriot Act, you know. Well, what's going to come out of this crisis? You know, what are we going to give up? You know, that's another question you have to ask yourself, too, is like, you know, they may throw us a bone and give us something like UBI to make us shut up. But I don't know. I don't think any of the long-term plans of the people who are really in power on this planet, the ones no one knows about, you know, like not mm-hmm. the puppets that you see out there, the politicians. I think the people that are really in power, I don't think the intent of most of them is good. I say most of them because in a lot of this whole, the whole theory about, this whole UFO theory, there's like, you know, it ties into the whole deep state stuff and mm-hmm. also the alliance stuff, right? So there's the alliance and the deep state, and
mm-hmm.
they're battling each other, you know, and aliens are on both sides.
Mm-hmm. That's
a very popular idea and concept promoted by David Wilcock and Corey Good. You know, yeah. The whole blue avian, chicken alien people.
Mm-hmm.
And
so...
I don't really subscribe to it entirely, but I do mm-hmm. think there are two camps. I would yeah. say that.
Fair enough. So would you, like, how long has, like, the leaders of humanity been in cahoots with the controllers? Like, when would you say? It's like, when was there an awareness?
Oh, God. Well, okay, well, going along with my theories, my beliefs, mm-hmm. There is no difference between the spiritual and the physical. The UFO, physical UFOs are these spiritual things mm-hmm. that we also interact with, right? Let's go back, I don't know, King Solomon.
King Solomon, all the way back to King Solomon?
We can go back further, but we're going to take a stop there just because he was a master magician.
Yeah.
He created many, many sigils and seals to trap both elementals and demons, and to attach them to objects and to bend them to your will mm-hmm. and these different things. So you know, like, that's some very dangerous magic, because if you don't know what you're doing, you just invited a fucking demon into your house. You know, and like, that doesn't end well. There's never a case where that pretty much, like, you brought it there with the intent to trap it. It's not going to be happy with you. You know, like,
no.
And if you could see it, like, if you were astral projecting, for instance, you just invited, I don't know, maybe some giant alligator headed freaking thing from yeah. like Beetlejuice or something, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's dangerous magic. But that's a good example, because there was him. He was trapping them and using them for information and for power. Mm-hmm. That's collaboration, right? And I think a lot of people get into that, into the darker side of magic to communicate with darker entities, like magic like Goethia and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why is because they want power, of course. And it's a quick path to power. It's also fleeting. And they demand a lot of you, the demons, the archons, whatever you want to call them. You know, so they, if you don't give them what they want, if you don't feed them, they're going to feed on you.
Yeah.
It's often why you see like prominent people fall from power. And then like you see them just like years later and they look like they're just turned into mummies or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh no, the gremlins again.
Oh shit.
The gremlins. Like right when he's about to lay, spit some truth.
Yep.
About like, the connection of
digging too deep.
Controllers and overlords over humanity. It's just like gremlins are just like boom. Oh wait, he's back.
Oh, you're back.
I told you.
Then you got to keep going. Right. People need to know the fucking truth.
Looking out for you.
Actually, I'm gonna reorient because I get really bad about jumping down these rants, and there are a few things I do want to touch on. So we're gonna kind of shift, I guess, a little bit away here for a minute. One thing I wanted to bring up too, that you have to bring up, I think, is the moon landing.
Dude, the moon landing is real.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you would have asked me like years ago, I would have been like, no, not real. Totally did not happen. But I mean, surely we could have gone to the moon. Like maybe not the original moon landing. But surely we've been to the moon. Like maybe the original moon landing was, you know, staged just so we didn't look weak and to Russia because of the space race and all that. But
that's
we possibly,
the theory, right?
Yeah, that's the theory is. And then we went to the moon much, much later.
Better dead than red, David.
Yeah. Right. But what would your take be outside the normal parameters of like the other conspiracies?
Well, I do think something neat about that theory is that Stanley Kubrick possibly recorded the video.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite ones, too.
Because I love 2001 Space Odyssey.
Yeah, me too.
That movie is chocked with so many layers of information, esoteric information, and, like, it's just, like, it's one of those movies that you can study and study, like, esoteric conspiratorial truths and things, and every time you, like, go back to it, you're like, oh, shit. Like, or even science, you know what I mean? You're just like, God. So like, I think that's really cool. I don't know if it's true, but yeah, I guess that's the whole idea, right? To, you know, to beat them, to get them commies, gotta beat them. They just faked it, right? And then, but they really did land on the moon. Is also kind of part of that theory, too. That, you know, question: When do you know when the last moon landing was?
This is my theory that I've been working on.
Don't look it up.
No. Mine is that I think we're going back a lot more than anybody's telling us. I would like, that's where I go is like, yeah. I think we're going constantly, maybe not like weekly, but like once
a
year.
The last official one?
The last official one, not off the top of my head.
1972. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
That's almost 50 years.
Yeah.
So, like, why?
Why? Exactly. Exactly. Like, I knew it was a long time, and I know we haven't really tried, and we haven't really mentioned anything about the moon in a while. It's kind of just like, I think the general public is just like, well, we've been there already, so meh. But
yeah, achievement unlocked. We don't need to do it again.
Yeah, we did it once. Who cares about space exploration? Who cares that it's the closest thing to us? So, why do you think we haven't been there officially since 1972?
I think they found things. I do.
Exactly.
I think they found things that, just like 2001 Space Odyssey, I do. I think they found, you know, whether it was artifacts or something. I don't know exactly. I do know there's some Hopi myths who are interesting. The Native American tribe, the Hopi. They had some predictions about man going to the moon, but they also had a warning that said, don't bring anything back. So I don't know why. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of one of those things like, if you bring that energy with you back to Earth, maybe it alters the energy here, you know, and kind of unbalances things. I don't know. I think it's kind of interesting. I mean, I don't know the details of why they said that. And I don't know and from what I remember, I don't think they were very clear on why either. There was just kind of a terse warning, basically, like, don't do it. Yeah. You know, go visit, don't bring anything back. So I don't know. I think they found things. I think, you know, that goes into the whole like secret space program thing now too, which I find it interesting that the Space Force was a big thing that has been pushed and now exists, is because, you know, like, is this just disclosure, right? Has it always
existed? Is this just more softening us up?
Yeah, like, has it always existed though? Like a secret space program, right?
Yeah. That's another thing, is like the Space Force is like, I'm with you on that there's been shit going on. Like, the Space Force isn't something new. It might just be an introduction, a rebranding, or just like a completely separate one, but I'm sure that there's been some kind of organization inside our military and our intelligence that has been going to space, and we may not call it Space Force, but
And it's probably off the books. I mean,
absolutely.
The black budget is huge. I mean, there's no telling. And I honestly don't think, I don't know, I don't really subscribe entirely to the whole Alliance versus the Cabal theory, but there are aspects of it I do. I do think there are two camps. But the thing is, I don't think either one is, I think one has good intentions. But I think good intentions also pave the road to hell, and you have to be careful. You know, they want to save the world from monsters, and I appreciate that, and I think that's a righteous goal. But at the same time, you know, like Nietzsche said, you have to be careful fighting monsters. Yes, you become one yourself, right?
Yeah, so, if you gaze into the abyss,
it'll gaze back into you. Yeah, exactly. And you don't want to like. Yeah, so I don't know. The Space Force could be just a way for them to disclose more technology. Like the stuff we talked about last week, you know, that the Navy was patenting, you know, and that would be cool.
Yeah.
I'm down with that.
Until somebody, you know, files an IP lawsuit intergalactically against us.
Right. I doubt
aliens are like the new, like, RIAA. They're just like,
I doubt any species has lawyers like us. We're wily motherfuckers, and I'm pretty sure, like,
just let them have it. Just,
we got the scumbags of the universe right here. Yeah. No, but
what would, like, if you were to take a wild stab, what would you think the technology would be?
I'm sure there's gonna be something anti-gravity and spacecraft involved at some point. I mean, it seems to be hidden that way. Yeah. And you have so many other technological developments that are coinciding with this, like Lockheed Martin saying that they are inventing a fusion reactor that can fit inside a tractor trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, so not only are we skipping, because you know how big a normal fission reactor is, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, not only are we skipping, we're going to go ahead and go to fusion, which is much more difficult, and we're going to miniaturize it. Cool. Yeah, okay, we're just making a leap that quick.
Yeah.
No, that's a little weird to me. I don't know. That's so odd. So
like, maybe part of it too. But here's the thing is, what would the consequences be? Like,
a fusion?
Of just like taking their designs, like going basically into their file cabinet on the moon, like stuff they left behind. Like, surely they would be like, no.
I mean, any of this stuff is going to revolutionize society. Like, I do really hope for humanity that we have a Star Trek like future.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to remember, even in Star Trek, we went through World War III before we got there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's kind of, I hope we don't have to deal with that kind of crap again. And, you know, I hope we're wise enough not to use our technology poorly also. Because that's the other thing, is every time new technology is invented, it's an exponential growth, right, of the good it can do and the bad. you know, nuclear bombs and nuclear, you know, generators, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's always been the case, right? Since the invention of fire, it can keep you warm and it can burn down your house. A hammer, mm-hmm. you can build a house, you can bash someone's brain in. Every time, gunpowder, you know, or actually I should say internal combustion, right? We have, mm-hmm. we drive cars. Like, that revolutionized everything, but it also invented guns. You know, yeah. gunpowder changed everything. So this is going to be no different. You know, this is going to be a quantum leap. And I don't think if these kind of technologies are actually being invented right now and prototyped and created and starting to be released, I know things are rough now, but I kind of want to stay alive to see this shit because, you know, mm-hmm. David's spaceship may be a reality. You know, I mean,
it better be.
Well, shit. If we have things like anti-gravity, who knows? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And so I'm hoping, in a way, I kind of hope that all this is happening. That's why I'm not like opposed to the space wars. It's kind of silly, but whatever. Like, if it gets us to where we're going, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you mm-hmm. can have your little toy. I don't care. Whatever.
Yeah.
I did a little bit of search, and apparently Trump wants, the U.S. to mine the moon as of like April this year.
Yeah, I remember hearing something about that, but after that it was like, not so much, just because our news cycles just cycle so fucking fast these days.
And that's been everything was going on.
I want Gundams.
I will take either a spaceship or a Gundam.
Yeah.
I
want
at
Gundam.
This point I kind of want a Gundam.
I got heavy arms. I'm heavy arms.
See, we all picked different guns.
Yeah, we got different ones. We don't have to fight.
What was yours, David?
Death Scythe.
Yes. Oh, yeah. See, it's perfect. Yeah.
Right?
Dude, I would totally pilot a giant robot.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
We can dream.
We can dream.
One of these days, it'll happen.
Yeah, and I think it's, I don't know if mining the moon's a good idea. I don't know, did you ever see the movie or read the book about what was it, The Time Machine? It was a really old book.
Yeah.
I never read it, but I watched the movie. So,
I don't remember much about it. I don't remember Jack either. And I
well,
watched
in that movie, they mine the moon, and then they accidentally like fucking blow it up, and it like parts of it crash into Earth, and it's terror. So I don't know if that's a good idea. I do find it weird that we talk about, like, people like Elon Musk talk about terraforming the moon, or excuse me, Mars. And I'm like, okay, for one, if we can do that, if we have the technology to fix another, to terraform Mars, we have the technology to fix Earth. Is not, you're focusing on the wrong, like, that's a lot of work over many generations that we just don't have time for. Like, I don't think. I don't know. But I do think that I don't know. I think mining the moon, depending on what they're mining, I guess, and where it's being used, you know, like mm-hmm. shipping stuff from the moon to Earth is not efficient. So I don't think that is even a good idea mm-hmm. on multiple levels, but I do think if they start mining the moon and using it to create things in space, like, why haven't we started to build a giant version of the International Space Station that's used to build spaceships in space with robots? We have the technology.
Yeah, we didn't have the technology.
You could just park
it in the space elevator. We should have already started on that.
Yeah, and you know, you could park it at one of the Lagrange points. I think that's what they're called, where like you're tidally locked orbitally in the orbit with Earth. Mm-hmm. So like or wherever, I guess you could park it around the moon.
As long as it just goes into space somewhere, because that way we could also mine the asteroids and shit.
Yeah, of course. You know, which country would pay to do this? I guess officially, I don't know. I mean, and people have theories that those things already, you know, in the secret space program. I don't know if I subscribe to it or not, to be honest. So, but it would be cool, sure.
Yeah.
But all right, let's see. Let me see. There's some other things here I wanted to touch on. We already actually touched on a lot of it.
There was something I remembered from a while ago, something about the moon being hollow and like earthquakes and shit.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what they call them now. They call them moonquakes now. So it was in 1970. I think it was Apollo 12. They crashed one of the stages of it, of that rocket, into the moon, like an artificial asteroid impact. And they said it, I think it was that one. It was that or Apollo 13. I can't remember. It's in the articles, that article I sent you. There was two of them. The one was a popular science magazine from 1970. And they described the event in that it rang, they said in the article, it rang like a bell for over an hour because they had seismometers on the moon. Because that's what they actually had. It must have been Apollo 13 that did the impact, I guess. I don't know. But they already had seismometers.
13.
Okay. So it's really cool. It took over an hour for the reverberations to stop. And I mentioned a guy named Nassim Harriman last week, physicist, mathematician. And he, I actually had listened to, I don't know if you ever listened to the Higher Side Chats, which is kind of a similar show as this. but it's good. And
I've listened to a couple episodes.
Yeah. They had brought that up on an interview with his first interview with him. I think it was his first one. And they had brought up like the moon ringing, right? Because his theory revolves around there being singularities at the center of everything, right? Every yeah. human, every planet, every atom. It doesn't matter what scale you're talking, right? Every galaxy. And I actually believe that to be true too, because you see it repeated over and over again that the universe is fractal, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's in the Hermetic teachings, as above, so below, and as below, so above, as within, so without. You know, like it's the same. Everything is fractal. So what is true on one level should be true on all levels. And then, of course, that's the clinch, right, of having a unified field theory. And that's what Nassim Harriman kind of approaches from. So Greg on THC had asked Nassim, like, does he think the moon is hollow? Because they had talked about this, and that's when he talked about how that at the center of the Earth, the black hole, we're talking about a black hole the size of a walnut to hold the Earth together, basically. And so, like, the one that's maybe in us, I guess, however that works, that's probably really, 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 really tiny. You know, it doesn't probably take much. Because the amount of power we're talking, I guess. But if that's the case, right, he says that if his theories are right, it would make sense there for there to be large hollow cavities. And like the further you go down into any planet, any structure, really. Like, we don't know for sure what's inside a star, right? There could be a solid core of very, very dense metals, and who knows what the hell is in the core of that, you know what I mean, like, or the center of that, like, there's a lot of possibilities. Like, we have ideas, we have concepts from dead stars, magnetars, neutron stars, and we have, you know, we have a general working theory, but there's a lot of big problems with physics right now. David obviously is much better to talk about, but when it comes to kind of bridging Newtonian and quantum theory and the kind of I love studying it like David does, just because it's kind of the Wild West a little bit, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're especially on the verge of another potential paradigm shift with physics at large. So
yeah,
we're gonna see that in our lifetimes, next decade or two.
It needs to happen. The paradigm that is currently in place needs to fall, because it doesn't work. Otherwise, you wouldn't. Like, otherwise quantum and Newtonian physics would work together.
Yeah.
Like,
sorry. Yeah, there's so many paradoxes that come up, and then people are trying to solve it, and they're on the verge of breaking through. Like, really, fuzzy math. It's super exciting.
Well, and fuzzy math will only get you so far, you know? Like, they try to fudge things a lot, more than people probably know. And, you know, because you built up this entire career, and you have this history on this paradigm, and you just want to protect it. It's your, you know, you got tenure, you know. Oh god, I don't want to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that way in history. It's that way in archaeology. It's that way in physics, biology. You know, that's a problem. It's a big problem with how our system works and how we ignore kind of fringe ideas. You know, like we should be open to fringe ideas. You know, if someone can mathematically have some sort of like working theory that is repeatable, you know, scientific method all the way, but they should at least be listened to, even if it sounds outrageous. You know, I mean, that's how most major scientific discoveries sounded probably when they were first announced. So, but.
And they were oppressed or even killed for bringing alternate ideas to the table. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Would these superior beings be the ones that make these rules and have just humans execute it?
What do you mean?
I mean, they're clearly in control. And when people try to, there's always that backlash when somebody discovers something new.
I do think there is a like a secret war, like a shadow war going on. I do think that's happening. And I think there has been a lot of people who have been killed for inventing or been disappeared or bought out for inventing alternative technologies, energy technologies and things.
So what I'm trying to say is, did Edison work for the aliens?
Oh yeah. No, I think Edison, I'm not a fan of Edison.
No. But did Edison work for the aliens and use it to stifle out other creators?
Like Tesla.
Exactly.
Well, actually, I was about to get to that. I was like, honestly, I think Tesla was more of an, like, quote unquote alien.
Go on.
Like a spirit. I think he was a very advanced soul, we can say.
He tapped into something.
Well, I think that's who he was. Like, Nikola Tesla is just one of his incarnations. And I think he is a very old, powerful soul. Spirit, I guess I should say. But I think he was amazing, and I think like he used to design everything in his head before he would put it to paper.
Yeah.
His designs were never a first draft.
Oh shit, the gremlins again.
All the drafts were done inside his mind. You're talking about a clairvoyant.
Oh no.
And
yeah. They don't want the truth to come out.
Nope.
They don't.
Once we get to Tesla, nope.
Once we get to Tesla, it was just like, pull the plug on it.
Yep.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, there you're back. Yeah, all right.
Sorry, guys. Tesla was so above, far and beyond Edison. I think Edison was just a charlatan.
For sure.
Yeah, I agree with that. But
I don't know if he worked for the aliens, but I don't know.
I don't know. I mean,
I think he was. Clear. I don't know if I want to give him that much credit.
Don't want to give him that much credit. Then no.
I think Tesla was just
so
far above and beyond him. Yeah, like leagues above him, and was punished for it.
Yeah.
He died in poverty.
Yeah, he did.
Yep. Mm. And he was an absolute genius.
Yeah.
Beyond anything we've seen, and honestly, I think he was on par, if not slightly above Einstein, even.
Really?
I think, for his time.
For his time.
Like, they did overlap some, I believe. Yeah. But his theories were very... Tesla believed very, very firmly in the ether. And that whole physics system based on, Newtonian physics. And... Yeah. That's, what space-time, Einstein's space-time theory replaced. But that came with a lot of problems and a lot of sacrifices. Nassim Harriman believes in the ether, too. Like, he tries to prove it mathematically. So, but I think that if the Earth is hollow, then I think the Moon's hollow. Then I think, I think it is very likely that many of these structures are. Whether there's things living inside them on the physical realm, I don't know about that. Again, on the astral realm, it could be different. It could be very different. And what we see here may not be what it is there. So, I think it's very possible. Like, there's a lot of names for these cities inside Hollow Earth, and there's a lot of myths, you know, around Hollow Earth, and that's where a lot of the New Age people have kind of clinged to it and things like that. I think it's Argartha, or I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but like, there's a civilization, a city called Argartha or something like that inside the Earth. They're Nordic aliens, I believe, which are the tall, blonde, Swedish-looking ones. Which that must be you, David. I don't know.
Yeah, obviously, naturally. Obviously. Those are my descendants or ancestors. Sorry.
Yeah. And so I don't know. I mean, I think, like I said, I think that's the underworld. I've been in the astral realm, and I think that's where like Asgard and these kind of Elysian fields and things like that are. And Hades too. You know, it's not all. It's not all. I think it's also the other places. But yeah, I mean, so it the fact that it rings like a bell is what's fascinating. I think kind of helps to prove that what Nassim had said was that you know, the bell analogy is actually quite succinct, because if all because I don't know, a lot of people don't know this, but all the planets have a natural vibration, and I sent you one of NASA's recordings of them. I sent you a link to that. There's a YouTube video that plays them all, and some of them are freaky.
Yeah. No, I've listened to those before. And, yeah, they are freaky. I'll put it in like
the Rings of Saturn podcast notes. A little creepy. And another one was Mercury. Mercury's real, like.
Yeah, I remember Mercury being.
But they all have these frequencies they naturally vibrate at. And just like a, like if you had a bell and it was solid on the inside and you hit it, it would make a little noise, but it would not reverberate for very long.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if a bell is hollow and you hit it, it reverberates for a very long time. And when you crash a piece of a spaceship into a planet or a planetoid, you know, or a moon, then, and it rings like a bell for over an hour, I think that's a pretty good sign that it's probably hollow, or at least cavernous, like extremely like honeycombed or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's got to be something like that. Now they claim that it's moonquakes. I think it's fun to look at the articles now versus the articles then and kind of see how like how what what they're trying to say these things are, you know, explain them away and things like that. But I don't know. I think it's probably hollow. I think Nassim Harriman's work really does show that it is mathematically and scientifically feasible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that crazy of an idea. So, I mean, why shouldn't black holes be the center of it? I mean, everything is technically toroidal shaped, right? The universe, and again, in this his theory as well, the universe itself is a torus, you know, like we talked about last time, the Big Bang and Big Crunch, right? Just over and over.
Yeah.
And there had have to be a singularity at the beginning in the center of that to create that, you know. Even black holes, like at the center of our galaxy, Sagittarius A, you know, you have this giant accretion disk we call the Milky Way, but out of it you also have all this just crazy stellar mix of light and debris and all this other stuff, you know, like the black holes, in a, as destructive as they are, they seed life. You know, they provide the base, these singularities provide the base structures of life to form for life to come out of.
Mm-hmm.
Mathematically speaking, you know, like I don't think it's a coincidence we find the golden ratio, the spiral everywhere, you know, in the shape of a galaxy, into the structure of plants, you know, like these things are mathematically encoded into the structure of our reality.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I agree with that. They're everywhere. So there has to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't think it's a crazy leap that all the planets are hollow. And I think when people can hear it that way, you know, like, you know, it kind of helps, maybe, I hope, because, you know, I don't think it's that wild of an idea. Now, of course, when you throw in the astral realm stuff, it gets a little too woo-woo for people, but that's, you know, that's my conclusion, what I've come to.
Mm-hmm.
Another really weird thing I wanted to touch on was the, this kind of goes back to the moon being fake kind of thing and being a construct, was the if you ever looked into the ratio of the sun to the earth and the moon, we, our sun, if I remember what I read correctly, our sun is this is statistically crazy. Our sun is, the moon is 400 times closer to the earth than the sun, but it's 400 times smaller, which allows for a perfect eclipse. If it was off even a little bit, it wouldn't be a perfect eclipse. Now think about that for a second. Mm-hmm. Let that sink in. Okay, we have a perfectly round moon for one. And that doesn't always happen. You know, you got moons like Titan and other ones that are round, and a lot of the bigger planets like Jupiter and Saturn have them. But then you got a lot of really weird moons like Phobos and stuff on Mars, and like they're just giant asteroids, you know, basically. And I think, so not only do we have just one moon, but it just happened to be a round moon. It just happened to be a round moon that's just the right size and in just the right space to cause an eclipse. Perfect eclipse.
A perfect eclipse. So it was constructed. That's why it used to not exist. Built.
That's part of the idea.
Or transported somehow. Somebody measured it out. Measured it out and was just like, this will work for this little blue planet.
Well, and part of it, part of the idea is like if the gods seeded life here, you know, and they were aliens, maybe they had the power to move planets, which is terrifying, but, you know, and maybe they did put it there on purpose, you know, because if we didn't have the moon, humans, like gravity would always be on one constant level. We'd be like kind of shorter and probably plumper and weirder looking and freaky. Yeah. You know, we don't realize how much the moon affects us, which is something I want to get into. But it's pretty wild that that's one of the biggest. Isaac Asimov actually talked about how crazy of a coincidence that is. You know, like it is so unlikely. And one of the websites, you know, that I sent you, they basically cop out and say, we can't give you the statistical odds, you know, like, because we don't know how many other Earth-like planets there are out there and how many moons they have. And I'm like, really? Like, you're not even going to try?
Not even going to try.
Not even going to try.
It makes you think that they know.
It's astronomical.
Yeah.
It's astronomical.
At least awareness, maybe not an accurate count, but at least an awareness of.
Give me an educated guess. Just fucking ballpark it. Like,
yeah, just, yeah.
Right.
Like it's got to be, yeah. So I think that is a little feather to always kind of keep, or not feather in your cap, it doesn't make sense, but just something to lock away, I guess, whenever you're thinking about the moon, is that how highly unlikely that is it exists in the form that it does in the place that it is. Which gets kind of into its effect on us. You know, we've talked a lot about the moon and its possible, you know, being created or a time before the moon. You can kind of see how a lot of this interconnects, right? And how the moon affects us. And there's a lot of myths associated with the moon. There's a lot of esoteric writings associated with the effects of the moon on us, depending on what you're looking at, you know, what kind of culture and things like that. Obviously, you have multiple divinities associated with it. Some of my favorites would be Thoth and Artemis. And you have Selene and Hecate or Hecate. And then, you know, those are different ones. You know, Thoth is Egyptian. Artemis, Selene, and Hecate are Greek goddesses or goddesses in that case. And then there's Nana. So you have all these different entities that are often associated with the moon, not always female, but often. Like I would probably put it 75% at least. And the thing that's often associated with the moon is the occult, right? Hidden knowledge. You know, the night sky is the perfect example of like the origin of the archetype of mystery for us, right? The night is this dark and mysterious and magical place. And so there's a strong association with the full moon being very potent with magic, But I do believe it does amplify magic. I think certain divinations work better, systems work better under the full moon, such as scrying. And I think that, you know, I think it definitely does. It's clear that it has an effect of, on us on a psychological level, at the very least, even if you don't believe in magic and all these other things, or even these gods I'm talking about. Everyone knows the term lunacy, you know, lunatic and things like that, you know, to talk about a crazy person. But why is it called that? The effect of the full moon, right? That's in many ways the origin of the whole like werewolf myth. You know, man turning into beast under a full moon, going on a rampage. And a lot of those myths can be traced back to ancient Greece as well. The Maenads, they were a cult of Bacchus, Dionysus to the Greeks. And they would get real drunk under a full moon, have orgies, and then all go out in the woods and find a wild animal and tear it apart and eat it with their bare hands as a group and eat it. And you know, just have a grand old time. And
sounds fun.
Yeah. So they would act like animals, right? They would get really inebriated because Dionysus is the god of wine. And inebriation in general. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. and that's what they would do, right? So this idea of just letting loose, becoming an animal under the full moon and having sex, right? Fertility. Fertility, that's another reason why a lot of feminine deities are associated with the moon. And then one of the articles I sent you goes into the actual, like, she actually cited her sources in the article, which were cool, but it goes into the details of how, like, there is, like, solid scientific evidence that, like, women being more fertile around a full moon. You know, like, I think before artificial light, women's cycles, the menstrual cycle would line up in sync with the moon, right? It's like a 28.65 or whatever cycle and day cycle, and it is or 29 day cycle, I can't remember, but it is it's interesting that happens, right? You know, like the full moon has this tidal effect on Earth and all of its inhabitants, you know. And so it affects our minds, it affects our bodies, it affects our energy, it affects, like, I don't know about you, but like when I'm under a full moon, I feel energized and, you know, like there's something about it, you know, I don't know what it is, but it makes sense that it has all these associations, not just with mystery, but with magic. And it makes sense that because it has these effects on us, that we associate acting crazy with it. And I think anyone that's ever worked in the restaurant industry can pretty much verify that when it's a full moon, shit gets a little weird.
I think even outside of that full moon, shit gets weird.
Like, yeah, just, I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I've seen it time and time again. You know, customers are always ruder. People driving on the interstate are always crazier. Full moon, and I'm like, I have no other explanation. I'm just like, oh, yeah. It's a full moon again. Okay, cool. You know, I mean, and maybe it's confirmation bias or something. But
and would that be like going back, just veering back into the construction of the moon?
Right.
Is that an intentional design when the supreme beings built the moon?
Probably. I think it also probably wasn't meant to be. Maybe I don't know if the moon itself has any fundamental negative effect on the Earth. You know, like the whole lunacy thing, like people acting crazy, having a bacchanalia is not necessarily like, I mean, yeah, it's not great behavior, but it's not the, you know, I mean, it's not that crazy, you know, like sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Like we all know, you know, without the animal eating thing, I guess it would be pretty normal behavior for humanity, right? So I don't know how much of, you know, I think a lot of the negative effects of the moon actually, like, or the negative viewpoints of the moon in certain esoteric circles, certain students of theosophy, like Gurdjieff and stuff. Like, there was quite a few people who they consider the moon like a trap, or it's like a it's there to control us, like we talked about earlier, and that kind of thing. A lot of that also comes from a male mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we're from a masculine mindset, a patriarchal mindset, right? You know, that, oh, the moon has a strong association with femininity, because before artificial light, they, you know, you had this sink going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the fact that we once we became less matriarchal over time, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but once we were less of a matriarchy, because we used to be, a lot of earlier societies were matriarchal. But when agriculture started and we started, you know, the patriarch really kicked into high gear then, right? About 10,000 mm-hmm. years ago. You know, there's a reason you're husband and wife. It's the term husband comes from animal husbandry, and they viewed women as cattle. And of course there would be these negative associations with the moon, and because the men were wanted to stay in charge, and you saw that throughout the persecution of women throughout history because of that, and mm-hmm. you with witchcraft, again going back to magic, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, how many women were burned at the stake for being witches? And most witches are green witches, I'm sure, and most of them were, you know, back then, like, they were healers probably, and I'm sure you had some dark, you're always going to get some dark magicians in the mix. Like whatever. Yeah. I mean, it's part of this world of duality, right? But you have many different kinds of witches, and witch schools of witchcraft, and especially in the more nature oriented schools like Wicca and stuff. And you don't, like, there's not, there's, I think most of those negative ideas come from that. I think they come from a male centered point of view, which I think the pendulum is slowly starting to swing back the other way.
Yeah. Oh, how many, like, we've been dominated by, like, the traditional religion, especially Christianity, for a very long time now. And it's just like, what you're saying is makes sense, because before, like, that, the women were, you know, more, like, looked upon, like, looked as less, not looked as less than.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and a lot of different societies have some very cool systems, like very old systems, like the Hopi. There's one that my wife and I have studied, and it's it's interesting, like, they split things up differently. Like, women were the only ones allowed to own land, but mm-hmm. men were the only ones allowed to own livestock.
Yeah.
And so what that does is require you to, like, you have to work together, right? Like, you have to have this balance, and the women are providing the role resources, right, to provide food and all these different things that you can produce with cattle, the grasses, you know, the raw materials. The men are providing the animals and the energy and the ranching and all of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're very much more more of a matriarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the women, they own the sacred spaces, they own the sacred costumes and equipment they use in their ceremonies. And they do this but the men are the only ones that perform the actual dances. So again, the women providing this, like, the space for the nurturing space for the event to happen. The men are providing the energy, right? So there are systems, very old systems that exist that can be, like, that we can look to for inspiration, right? You know, that maybe not the same system, right? But, like, I don't know, we could come up with something. But I do think that the negative moon is, you know, any sort of negative moon associations, I think, are really due to, in my view, more of a patriarch system that has been in place for 10,000 years now,
mm-hmm.
which is not a coincidence that that's about the same time this current system of archonic control has been in control, mm-hmm. right? So I think they try to stamp out feminine power anywhere they find it. Have done so for years, and I think when they can't, I think they try to co-opt it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, I think that's how it works.
Yeah.
It's my personal opinion, at least. One other thing I was going to bring up, I think this is the last thing.
Yeah, because we are about to be an hour 30 again.
Yeah, I figured. Yeah. Actually, I think I got through everything. One thing I was going to bring up was the, and again, on the effect of the moon on the earth, when, for those who are gardeners, if you get on an almanac, it has planting by the moon cycle. And the reason it has that is you can also harvest by the moon cycle. When you harvest on a full moon, gravity is literally stronger and pulls more of the essential oils up into the leaves of certain herbs. So many herbs are actually more potent when harvested under a full moon.
Yeah.
Just a little tidbit, but it's fascinating, right? Like, it's not just us the moon affects, right, under a full moon. It is also the plants and the animals. I mean, I was actually camping this weekend and under a full moon, and coyotes immediately, as soon as the moon was up, just started howling, and they were doing it off and on all night, you know. So it's we can't deny the effect the moon has on us, that's for sure. I think whether it's a control system or maybe there's just some of those entities posted out on the moon.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they just hijacked it. Or maybe they only hijacked part of it.
And they're not updating the moon software, clearly.
Right.
They're not giving a firmware.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that was about all I got. I think that's all my voice has too. That's a lot of information.
That was a lot of information.
I ranted the entire time and didn't let me.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it was very educational for me. I'll be honest, I'm past the point where I probably won't remember the last 20 minutes of this. but I have to listen to it again, so I'll do it. Yeah, it was a lot of information. And
yeah, that's basically everything I've studied about the moon in a nutshell.
Yeah.
More or less. Like over the years.
Yeah.
Like all the weird things. And that's the thing. Even if I don't believe something, I'll still study it and I'll still like it. Even if I don't believe it sometimes, just cause it's fun, you know, like Nazi moon bases.
Yeah. Well, Nazi moon base. I'm going to have to do a little more reading on the Nazi moon base. I want to know what's going on up there. Cause I've heard of it before. I've just haven't followed up with it. Just did some light skimming on it. And like, you know, I really think it makes sense when you, like what we said earlier, was like with Operation Paperclip, why we recruited them despite working for the enemy for so long. All about the space program. Let's wrap this up. If you like what you hear, we're on every podcast platform. Subscribe. Give us good reviews. Helps people find the show. You can find us on Twitch now. I post all over my Twitter. And do either of you have anything to say?
I'm all out.
I do not, other than I just want my damn spaceship.
I want a Gundam. I just want a fucking Gundam. That's all I want. All right. Well, let's call that a wrap. And we'll be back next week.